Just a little bit after 6 p.m. here on and you're listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM radio. Just a reminder that the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Incorporated, station management, the board of directors, or the WEFT associates. Let you know, it's November 18th, Monday, and this is, this is the program where we're at. I'm your host, Ben, and, I have a pretty good show for you, for the next hour. Some public service announcements. If you have an old, if you have an old car or truck, motorcycle or boat that you would like to get rid of, any condition, and it doesn't have to be a clunker, donate any old vehicle to charitable adult rides and services and designate WEFT to receive the proceeds from your gift. All you need is a clear title. Charitable adult rides and services will pick it up and haul it away with no charge to you. Make arrangements on the website at careasy.com or call 855-500-RIDE. That's 855-500-7433. And remember to tell them that you want WEFT to receive the proceeds. By the way, that song that I introed here to the show was Miles Davis. I believe it was track for Oleo from his album Miles Davis Bags Groove. And let's see. There are shows going on at the Rose Bowl Tavern. There's always music venues. I believe there's trivia night is on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. And I think, I don't know if that's this week or next week. Trivia night is at 7:30 p.m. on Wednesdays. Jazz jam is at, after that, starting at 10 p.m. But if you want more information about what's going on at the Rose Bowl Tavern down in Urbana, you can go to www.rosebowltavern.com. And of course, since we are a volunteer, even though our fall drive, I believe, is fundraiser drive, we already had one, but we still do take individual donations. If you would like to make a payment online on our website, go to www.weft.org. You can also mail your financial support to us. You would just write WEFT 90.1 FM, P.O. Box 1223, Champaign, Illinois, 61 the zip code 61824 -1223. Other than for public that we have here, that's all I can find at the moment. There is also the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission. They have a number of services such as LIHEAP, which if you go to their website, you'll quickly be welcomed by a pop-up for about online scheduling for LIHEAP. That's low-income heating, low-income home energy assistance. And they'll give you a thing to fill out, your name, address, the number of things, requirements, about what you need to qualify to apply for when you're filling out the LIHEAP application. Again, the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission, their website, ccrpc.org. And they also have a number of programs available, homeless prevention, rent assistance, homeless services, low-income home energy assistance, LIHEAP, mobile home initiative, safety lighting energy efficiency program, also known as SLEEP, S-L-E-E-P, senior services, youth assessment centers, and a number of very useful programs and services. Again, that's the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission. Their website, ccrpc.org. You can also, I believe they're located at 1776 East Washington Street, Urbana, Illinois. Their phone number, 217-328-3313. Again, their phone number, 217-328-3313. Although their hours of business hours or hours of operation are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And again, if their website, again, for final, I'll just throw it out final time, the ccrpc.org. This is my first show since post the election. So essentially all I have for you right now is a program, the broadcast. I believe this is their first show post-election, or might have been their second post-election. But that's what I have prepared for you. Just a reminder that the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker. Do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Incorporated, Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. All right, I have the program queued up. So this is the broadcast with Brad Friedman.
Today's broadcast was originally recorded on November 11th, 2024.
And if you look at media in general, right, you've got the loss of the local newspaper, right? 70% of newspapers, right? We've got more than half of counties have no local news anymore, right? You've got Sinclair reaching 70%. It's a right-wing local broadcaster for news, reaching 70% of households. So you've lost all of this local news that used to just have a flavor of humanity to it and localism in favor of this sort of national zero-sum, fully within the propaganda kind of strategy. And so in that vacuum, and then you've got, I think it's around 70% of good journalism is behind a paywall, right? And so you're having this education-based gap in what people have access to and information. And that is, I think, the sort of table stakes for how we got to this place.
Yep, they are. As we've been telling you for some time.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
It ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clown. to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA, 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake, California. Also in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI, and Round Mountains, KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's Queso, and Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ. We are down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM950, KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internets on the Progressive Voices Channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, and most of your favorite podcast sites, blanketing planet Earth. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, an all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. Even if I'm not feeling all that well, all that swell today for some reason, Desi Doyen, I don't know about you.
Neither am I, but you know, we press on.
We press on indeed. This is my first opportunity today to open the phone lines to listeners. Since America elected a known fascist to be our next president of the United States, that is not, of course, me describing Donald Trump as a fascist. That is his own former longest-serving White House chief of staff, four-star General John Kelly, his own former chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the military, four-star General Mark Milley, who know him best and who have each publicly described Trump as, quote, the definition of fascist and, quote, fascist to the core, respectively. And if you didn't know that, well, if you didn't know that's what they called him, well, the people who know him best called him a fascist, well, I would frankly blame whoever and wherever it is that you get your news from for not adequately giving you a heads up. A red flag warning about that in advance. A warning that one of the two candidates that could have possibly become the next president is regarded by the people who know him and who know fascism, by the way, who know him best, to be the very definition of a fascist to the core. I've got a few other thoughts today related that I hope to get to regarding our news media, from the corporate mainstream media to our social media to, yes, even our independent media, including even this show and perhaps the station where you are listening to us right now. If you are listening on one of our affiliate stations around the country and the world, but if you'd like to blow off some steam, express your primal rage, blame me or anyone else you might like for what this nation has done and is about to go through, and we are about to go through some things, in what I see as its wildly disinformed, historical, electoral disaster over the past week, well, give me a call, 818-985-5735. I'd love to hear from you. No judgment? Maybe. So we'll see. Anyway, a bit of news first, beginning with a correction of sorts. As those who listen to the broadcast know, when we are in error, we like to put the corrections right up front instead of burying it at the end, as too many others do. And this wasn't even actually an error per se, but on our broadcast last Thursday, we reported on the call from the Associated Press that Republican hedge fund billionaire David McCormick had defeated Pennsylvania's Democratic three-term incumbent U.S. Senator and really a state institution, U.S. Senator Bob Casey. In fact, AP did call the race for McCormick just before we went on air for our show on Thursday, as I recall, and many other media outlets tend to report on AP's calls on elections, even though they're unofficial calls. But AP has been doing this for nearly 200 years in the U.S. But in this case, in fact, a number of other outlets have decidedly not yet called that race for McCormick, who currently leads Bob Casey, according to the unofficial reported results earlier on Monday, by just under 40,000 votes, or just over 0.5%. That out of some 7 million votes cast in that race, as they are reportedly tabulated so far. So that's a 40,000 vote margin, approximately, with the Republican over the Democrat in Pennsylvania, with about 175,000 votes cast in Pennsylvania, by the way, for so-called third-party Senate candidates in that very same race, including about 65,000 who voted for the Green Party candidate, not Jill Stein, but whoever the Green Party candidate was in that Senate race. That would be enough to easily have given the contest to the to Casey, the Democrat, in the battle for majority control of the U.S. Senate, which will now, in fact, be turned over to Republicans next year for at least the first 2 years of Trump's second term as president. Shortly after we got off air from Thursday's broadcast, just after AP had made that call, Democratic election attorney Mark Elias tweeted, quote, "The Pennsylvania Senate race is not over," unquote, going on to cite a statement from the state's Republican Secretary of the Commonwealth, at the time estimating that there were another 100,000 ballots or so remaining to be adjudicated in that race, with more than 30,000 of them in Philadelphia and Allegheny counties, which are the most Democratic-leaning. We will, of course, be keeping our eyes on that contest as it heads for a potential recount in the Keystone State if the margin falls below 0.5%, which is just below where it is now. But I wanted to let you know that it's not necessarily over yet in Pennsylvania, despite our reporting last week on AP's unofficial call in that matter. Over the weekend, all of the major media outlets called the U.S. Senate race in Nevada unofficially for incumbent Democratic U.S. Senator Jackie Rosen in her tight race against Republican challenger Sam Brown. If the current numbers hold in Nevada, she will have defeated Brown by about 1.5 points. And in Arizona, in the U.S. Senate contest to fill the seat being vacated by Democratic Senator Kyrsten Sinema, Democratic Congressman Ruben Gallego leads the Trump-endorsed Republican election denier Carrie Lake by a little more than 2 points right now, with counting in a number of Arizona counties taking longer than expected for some reason. Some, such as in the Republican-leaning Cochise County, are taking much longer than expected due to a reportedly still unexplained slowdown in the county's absentee ballot tabulating computer system, which we are keeping our eyes on. Cochise was one of now more than 50 jurisdictions across the country that was reportedly hit with bomb threats that turned out to be hoaxes on Election Day. Threats said to have come from overseas, most likely courtesy of Russian-based assets, according to the U.S. intelligence community. Given the current unofficial calls in U.S. Senate races, as of right now, Republicans have succeeded in flipping 3 Democratic seats to Republicans so far in what was known going in to be a very, very difficult Senate map for Democrats to defend. By the way, in 2 years, Republicans will have a similarly difficult map for them to defend in 2026, just due to the way that 6-year Senate terms work. As of right now, Republicans will have at least a 52-46 advantage in Senate seats starting in January with those two races in Pennsylvania and Arizona still to be called. But an unobstructed path, nonetheless, toward confirmation for all of Trump's appointments, cabinet appointments, 2 years worth of appointments for new federal judges with lifetime appointments to the federal bench. That's what we have to look forward to, among much else that we will be getting to today and in the days ahead. Speaking, though, of problems on or after Election Day, as those of you who have listened to this program or followed our work at bradblog.com over the years, you know that we pay very close attention to issues of election integrity, including concerns about voting system failures, insecurities, vulnerabilities, and the difficulty for the public to oversee them, and with it, to oversee our electoral democracy. So, as we have now for more than 20 years at this point, we keep a very close eye on that system and on its vulnerabilities before, during, and after elections, including during the tabulation period. And as I frequently caution, sometimes problems either on election day or in the tabulation afterward, often those problems do not come to light immediately. Sometimes they take days or weeks to come to light, sometimes longer to be fully documented and or understood. I have been keeping a close eye. I know a lot of people have been sending me email, leaving comments at bradblog.com about this. I have been keeping a very close eye on as many reports coming in as I can find, specifically a number of them since last Tuesday, that include some still unexplained anomalies during the computer tabulation of hand-marked paper absentee ballots in several battleground state counties, including both Center County, Pennsylvania, and Calhoun County, Michigan. That is specifically in the town of Battle Creek in Michigan. In both cases, there were still unexplained failures after ballots were successfully scanned by these computer scanners, but during the upload of those results to the Central Election Management Server, or EMS, where they essentially combine those results with all of the other results from around the state, the uploads failed. For currently unknown reasons, in both of those counties, in Calhoun County, Michigan, Center County, Pennsylvania, I'm still trying to make sense of what happened, as it could be indicative of a larger problem or nefarious activity, or both. Or they could be similar to various failures that occur in every election, such as, for example, mismatched software or databases on the two different ends of that transfer. We saw something similar to that in Antrim County, Michigan, back in 2020 in the presidential race. One of the points that Donald Trump supporters have claimed is evidence of fraud in that election. It is not. So I'm speaking with voting system experts. I'm speaking with folks on the ground. I will let you know, of course, if there are reasons for great concern in those jurisdictions or any others. I know some have also been alarmed thanks to social media conversations about this and by the fact that Center County, Pennsylvania, was actually one of the jurisdictions that was also forced to evacuate for a period of time last week on Election Day due to a bomb threat. So I will just note for now, I've got my eyes on those jurisdictions and others as we try to learn more, just as I had my eyes on various reported issues following the 2020 presidential election of Joe Biden, where no legitimate evidence has ever been presented by anyone to suggest that that election was somehow stolen from Donald Trump, despite his 4 years of false claims to the contrary. And by the way, just as I've had my eyes on previous elections won and lost by Democrats and Republicans alike, including both Democratic and Republican primary races over the years, where various usually aggrieved candidates and parties have expressed concerns and what they see as evidence of shenanigans. When we find such proof of shenanigans, we report on it. I'm also aware, by the way, of concerns regarding jurisdictions where Trump supporter and richest man in the world, Elon Musk's Starlink system, was used for internet connections, for electronic poll books in some jurisdictions, including out here in California. Even as reported, concerns about that, at least as of now, appear somewhat misleading, as far as I can tell. For the moment, As I said, it's still early. Votes are still being tabulated. Many of us are trying to secure as much oversight of our theoretically public elections as we possibly can. For the moment, I will note, I don't necessarily see any problems that are widespread enough on their own to change the ultimate results, at least in the presidential race from last week. But as ever, that doesn't mean we're going to stop looking anytime soon. Rest assured. But of course, if you think there is something out there that I am not aware of, please feel free to drop me a line via email. I am bradcast@bradblog.com with a link to your concerns. Or if you are personally, you had personally experienced something troubling that you think I should be made aware of, of course, send me details on that as well. And at least for this, to bradcast@bradblog.com. And at least for this hour, you're also free to call in with such concerns and or questions for me if you are in our live Southern California listening audience or listening anywhere in the world over our live kpfk.org web stream. Give me a call, 818-985-5735, and we can discuss it on air. 818-985-KPFK. Or, like I said, anything you may wish to discuss in the wake of what happened last week as we all sort of try to digest the nightmares that now, yes, lie ahead for millions of people in this nation and on this planet, including perhaps many people that are listening today or that you know personally, or perhaps even you, with the second election of Donald J. Trump. So I don't want to guide you too much today with your calls, as I know people are going to need some time to just sort of get it all out. So let's start today, 818-985-5735, and I won't even fight you. Or maybe I will. We'll see. I do want to take note of one thing today that we referenced in one of our post-election broadcasts last week, and that we ran out of time on last week's call-in show for me to respond to, as someone, I believe it was either a Trump supporter or a Green Party Jill Stein supporter, had called in and raised the matter, basically repeating the claim that we've heard from many in recent weeks leading up to the election that, hey, Donald Trump was not a fascist autocratic dictator last time. So why should we fear that he will be one if he is reelected a second time? And I'd like to answer to that because it actually helps me to explain why I believe last week's abomination with a potential win, even in the popular vote for Donald Trump, and we'll see if that comes to pass, but it sort of helps explain why that actually happened as I see it. So there are a number of reasons to be very concerned about this upcoming second Trump term that were not the case in his previous term, since I didn't get to speak to that question from that caller a week or so ago. Among them, well, first, last time, Trump knew that he would have to at least moderately behave himself if he wanted to have any chance of winning a second term in office. That guardrail, since he can't run again for office, that's now gone for him. He doesn't have to keep the support of anybody if he does not want to. Secondly, after being impeached twice the last time he was in office and learning that members of his own party will never, ever vote to find him guilty and remove him from office in the U.S. Senate during a Senate impeachment trial, no matter what high crime or misdemeanor he has clearly committed, and no matter how good the evidence is, now that he knows that, he can feel free to abuse power with absolute impunity in a second term without fear of two-thirds of the U.S. Senate turning against him. So that guardrail is also gone. Next, in his first term, Trump had hired many legitimate, you know, sort of experts for various important roles and to head up a number of key federal agencies. Most of those people eventually left his administration and have been out trying to warn the nation ever since about this guy, particularly over the past month or so, about his corruption, his incompetence, the dangers of a second Trump term. That would include his own four-star generals that I mentioned at the top of the show, Chief of Staff General John Kelly, Chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the Military, General Mark Milley. Add to them scores of other Trump administration officials who worked closely with him and have been begging American voters to not give Trump a second term, to vote for the Democrat, Kamala Harris, instead. Well, all of those people who worked closely with them, all of them are now all gone. They will not be there to serve as guardrail in a second Trump administration. Those roles will now be filled with sycophants and cult followers, as this appears to be the one lesson that Trump learned last time. Hire yes men. Hire people who have no opinions of their own, who will do whatever it is you tell them to do, no matter how absurd, no matter how dangerous, no matter how awful it is. That, along with learning how to pull the various levers of government to his liking that he did not know how to do last time. So those guardrails are all now gone in the upcoming second term. And finally, for now, since he last served, his corrupted activist Republican U.S. Supreme Court majority has turned the very core notion of this nation that we do not have kings, that no one, not even the president, is above the law, has now turned that on its head by finding a heretofore unknown and unheard of provision in the U.S. Constitution declaring somehow that presidents may violate any and all criminal laws that they like, in any way that they like, while they are serving as president, and they can never be charged or even questioned about them, about those crimes, by law enforcement officials. That's a decision that the Supreme Court came down with after Trump left office. So now he is perfectly free to be as lawless as he wishes, and nothing can ever be done about it. That guardrail, the idea that he might someday be constrained by law enforcement for criminal acts that he carries out while in office, that is completely gone, 100%. Yes, up to and including ordering his military to execute his domestic political enemies. He could send someone right here to the station right now and shoot me if he wanted to order that. And he would never face any accountability for that from law enforcement whatsoever. Which is, you know, only somewhat ironic given that Chief Justice John Roberts, who wrote that decision for the Supreme Court in Trump v. United States for the corrupt 6-3 Republican majority on the High Court, John Roberts said this during his own confirmation hearings in the U.S. Senate way back in 2005 when, yes, we were also on air trying to warn you about that corrupt liar.
I believe that no one is above the law under our system, and that includes the president. The president is fully bound by the law, the Constitution, and statutes.
That is adorable, isn't it? John Roberts believed no one is above the law, including the president. Until 20 years later, he decided the exact opposite. Isn't that adorable? I guess he had a change of heart for some reason since then, or someone secretly wrote something maybe into the Constitution that nobody other than Donald Trump and his six corrupt justices on the High Court were ever aware of. There are now virtually no guardrails, zero, for this lawless, convicted felon over his next 4 years in office. So yeah, that's why you should worry. For those who raised that point before the election. Those are not opinions of mine. That is not, none of that is partisan. Those are all simply demonstrable facts. And if you did not know those facts already, as noted, I would blame the media wherever it is that you get your news or don't. And yes, you may feel free to blame me as well if you like. Though God knows I tried to let you know on air every single day. If you did know those things, by the way, and you voted for Donald Trump, or you'd hoped he'd win, well, congratulations, you did it. I hope you, or nobody you know, pays the price for what is about to come.
I didn't know he was going to round up and imprison and deport my mother.
Since last week, many have been trying to claim that voters voted against Kamala Harris because they blamed her for the Biden-Harris record on inflation and the economy, which, by the way, is, as the Economist magazine described it recently, quote, the envy of the world right now here in America in the wake of the pandemic, which was horrifically mismanaged by Donald Trump. The U.S. economy right now is far and away the best among the developed world, period, with inflation almost as low as it was during Trump's first term, when, by the way, it was higher than it was during the Obama administration. Just thought you should know that. We've got record GDP growth. We've got historically low unemployment rates. We've got skyrocketing record highs on Wall Street, more Americans with health coverage and jobs than ever before, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Those are just facts. So if voters voted this year based on the economy, and if they voted for Donald Trump, well, then they had very bad facts, because Donald Trump's promised cures for the economy and inflation are things like tariffs, which are inflationary, will make prices worse, and tax cuts, which will further add to the deficit, as Donald Trump did in his first term. And if you did not know those facts again, well, I blame the media for failing to inform the electorate about these facts. It is our only job, and collectively, clearly, we failed. I believe that while I might have preferred the Harris-Walz campaign had done this differently or that differently, I believe she ran an extraordinarily good campaign, and that under these conditions, with the disaster that is our current media landscape, mainstream media, social media, etc., with that landscape, I believe it is unlikely that any Democrat could have won this year against a Donald Trump, whose top funder, Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, who was allowed, thanks again, John Roberts, by the way, to give $130 million to elect Donald Trump. That's never happened before, but he was allowed to do it. And he happens to now own and manipulate one of the largest social media outlets in the world, known as Twitter. He calls it X. That underscores the complete and utter lies and falsehoods that he put forward, that Donald Trump put forward, but that Musk put forward on this social media platform in order to hoax the American people into supporting Donald Trump. So that Musk and a handful of billionaires can continue to reap hundreds of billions, even trillions of dollars from the federal government at your expense. If you voted for that, congratulations. A majority of American people last week proved that they were either stupid or cruel or uninformed, misinformed, or disinformed. Take your pick. And since I don't believe that Americans are stupid, I really don't, not the majority of them, though many of them may be cruel, many of them may wish for chaos for whatever reason, I think that they were wildly disinformed about all of these things and more, and you may have been one of them. According to Ipsos exit polling, those who falsely believe that violent crime, quote, is at or near all-time highs in most major American cities, well, they voted overwhelmingly for Donald Trump. Those who knew that that was false, well, they voted for Harris. Those who correctly knew that inflation had declined to near historic averages over the last year, they voted overwhelmingly for Harris. Those who did not know that voted for Donald Trump. Those who knew the U.S. stock market is at all-time highs right now, they voted for Harris. Those who did not know that voted for Donald Trump. Those who knew that unauthorized border crossings at the U.S.-Mexico border are at or near the lowest they have been in years, and even lower than they were during the last year of the Trump administration, during the height of the pandemic lockout, well, they voted by 59 points for Kamala Harris if they knew the facts. Those who didn't know that voted 17 points for Donald Trump. If you know the facts, you voted for Harris. If you have been conned by the world's greatest con man of all time and by the media, which failed to make sure you knew these things, either because they pulled punches or were purposely trying to hoax you, well, then you likely voted for Donald Trump or even for a third party candidate rather than Kamala Harris. And again, those are just demonstrable facts. As our friend and longtime fellow progressive blogger Driftglass explained correctly on the broadcast during one of our post-election day shows last week.
This was not about the economy. It wasn't about this or that. It wasn't about anything in particular. It was that this is an affirmative decision on the part of millions of people that they want this guy. They want this fascist, adulterer, criminal, lying scumbag to run their country. And most importantly, this is terribly important, have been told for 30 years that Democrats are baby-killing communist monsters who are coming to take everything away from you. The only answer that's acceptable to the corporate media is Democrats have failed somehow to do the outreach and reached out and led and whatever, whatever. And when the campaign that Harris ran proves that isn't true, they cannot admit their own complicity in this, that they have normalized Trump, that they've been normalizing Republicans for my entire adult life. The corporate media is very much part of the problem, and they're not getting any better.
They are not. And I would add, that is true, by the way, for any media at this point. Yes, even independent non-corporate outlets who normalized the mentally unbalanced monster and convicted criminal who is now set to become the next president of the United States again. Anyway, I suspect I'll have much more to say about all of that and more in the days ahead, but I wanted to get that off my chest today for now, and I have. Now it's your turn. 818-985-5735. I'd love to hear from you. 818-985-KPFK. Whatever you want to say about any of this is straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman, and you are listening to The Bradcast.
What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At The Bradcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently, without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
Hey, this is Brad. You're listening to an encore presentation of The Bradcast.
Shout, shout, let it all out. These are the things I can do without. Come on, I'm talking to you. Come on.
Come on, 818-985-5735. I'm Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, and this is The Bradcast, our first post-election opportunity to open up the phones. Let me go to Patrick in Pasadena. Hey, Patrick, welcome. Patrick in Pasadena, I think. Do we have that right? Hey, Patrick.
Yeah.
There you go. How are you, Patrick? Welcome to The Bradcast.
I'm fine. I was just thinking all the things you just said when you were last talking. I what am I going to say to him? Because you kind of covered everything I was going to say. But
sorry,
I'm originally from Minnesota, and I live in Pasadena now for the last 6 years. But yeah, I think we're truly living in times of treason, and I kind of blame the Democrats for it. I don't think they've, you know, I know Kamala didn't have time to run; she only had 3 months, but it's just, and Joe Biden seemed to be sleeping the whole time, and I just think nobody got out there and really spoke for her. And you know, I think
you think nobody you think nobody got out and spoke for Kamala Harris. She was spoke everywhere. What do you mean?
I don't think there was a strong enough message sent from the Democrats about this criminal that's going to be our president now, because I think, you know, he should have been prosecuted. I don't know what's going on in the government, but it seems to all be fake to me now.
Well, Patrick, he was, and thanks for the call. He was prosecuted. He was prosecuted, and he was found guilty on 34 counts of fraud for trying to cheat to win the 2016 election, and successfully did so. He was prosecuted for that. Other than that, he was able to delay his other three criminal felony cases, two at the federal level, one down in Georgia. He was able to delay that because in this country, if you got enough money, you can delay long enough to apparently run for president and face a Supreme Court that will then let you get away with any future crimes you want to. He will not be charged for those. He will not be tried for those federal crimes that he was charged with, because a sitting president cannot be tried with crimes. And he won't be charged for new crimes either. Let me go to Victoria in Los Angeles. Hey, Victoria, welcome to the broadcast. Turn down your radio, please, Victoria, if you don't mind. We will come back to Victoria. Bill in Santa Monica. Hey, Bill, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, Brett.
Hey, Bill.
I don't think the world realizes what kind of danger they're in, and not because of Trump and his fascist ways. It's because of who he is as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
In 1945, 3 days before Hitler committed suicide, he was told by his generals that the Russians, when they were taking Berlin, were coming through the subway system. Now, in the subway system were a lot of German citizens hiding from the bombardment and from the shooting and from the Russians. Hitler flooded that subway system and killed thousands of his own people. Now, with Trump and the way that he eats, he doesn't sleep, he's 78 years old, he's like an unsupervised adolescent, he doesn't exercise. If he drops over like a buffalo, that's one thing. But if he finds out after 10,000 doctors has confirmed it, that he has a terminal disease such as lung cancer or any kind of cancer, that will eventually kill him within the next before his term is out.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think a man like that, what do you think his actions would be?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he would just try to live out his life and do the best that he can, or would he try to take a lot of the world with him, if not all of it?
Thank you,
because
Bill.
I think that...
Yeah.
Oh.
I hear you. I appreciate the warning.
One other thing, Greg. Yeah. You cut me off. Or you didn't cut me off, but you dismissed me when Kamala was nominated. I'm black,
mm-hmm.
and I've lived in this world for a long time, and I told you that this country would never elect a black woman. And the things that you said that they didn't vote for her, you left out one thing,
yeah.
that she was a black woman. The black women are the least most disrespected segment of this country. And instead of the Democrats trying to be politically correct, they should try to be correct, because I don't think there's a person like the governor of California would have wiped the floor with Trump. And you told me about I should talk to Obama. Obama was not up against... neither McCain or Romney were out and out. I don't believe they were racist at all, and misogyny was off the board. Kamala was up against an out-and-out racist and an out-and-out misogynist, and so much of this country is deeply racist. You're talking about people who didn't want Medicare because some black people were going to get it.
Okay.
This is a racist country. I lived among them, and that's what it is. That's why she lost.
All right.
Okay. Thank you for
hearing Bill. Me. And I certainly didn't mean to dismiss you. I might have disagreed with you. I can't remember specifically, but I didn't mean to dismiss you or cut you short on that point.
Your last words were,
yeah.
You should talk to Obama. But Obama's a man.
Okay.
Black men had the vote in this country even before white women.
All right.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Goodbye.
Thanks, Bill. I think I do remember that where I might have said to talk to Obama, because at the time Obama was running, there were many people saying, well, America will never elect a black man as president. Which was true until they did. 818-985-KPFK. Do we want to try Victoria again? Has Victoria turned down her radio? Hey, Victoria.
Hi, Brett.
Hi, Victoria. Welcome to the broadcast. What you got?
How are you?
I've been better. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. This is what I would like to talk about.
Yeah.
I voted Democrat for the last 45 years.
Yeah.
I just retired from state of California as a social worker. There is a rhetoric, and I switched this time. I didn't vote Democrat. I voted for Kennedy. And one of the issues, instead of constantly demonizing the other side and putting down people who are voting for the opposite side, mm-hmm. which is very, very, I don't think it's a clever way to approach the issue, mm-hmm. because so many times I keep hearing uneducated people voted for Trump. People were not informed. Well, you said that several times, mm-hmm. you know, for Trump.
That's not insulting. Victoria, well, I'm not. Well, Victoria, no, hang on. Let me just respond to that point. Hang on. I'll let you talk, Victoria. I just want to point out that's not an insult. That is, that if they are uninformed, they are uninformed. And I am not blaming them for being uninformed. I am blaming our media system, including myself. No. That's not an insult.
No, Brad. Let me tell you, a person like me and lots of people who I know, well-informed doctors and engineers, all of a sudden they stop voting for Democrats. If you want to make it better for the Democrats, I would like to see them in a better under the better light, who are doing the right thing. We have to think, and I'm with you with this, we have to think why the party is failing. What's the problem? Why people are switching sides? That's my okay. One of the. It's not a. I just would like to mention this.
Yeah.
Several times, because if you keep talking, why Trump is this, Trump is that, Trump is the criminal, he's a sexist.
That's true.
He's a racist.
That's true.
Not going to help the issue.
I'm sorry. Issue should be, Victoria. Go ahead. Finish your thought there, and I'll respond.
Okay. Why? What happened? Why people are so upset with Democrats? What happened last 8, 12? You know, I voted for Obama. I voted for Clinton. At both times, I was very disappointed to see what kind of a wars they started, mm-hmm. how they approached the international issues. And I'm not going to talk about the Republicans because I didn't vote for them.
Okay. Let me jump in, Victoria, because a lot of people want to get in, but I do want to ask you a few questions. One, I don't care about making it better for Democrats. That's not my interest. I care about making it better for Americans, period. And if a Republican or a third party might be better for Americans, then that's just fine by me. I talk about Trump being a criminal because that is true. That is a fact. He is an adjudicated rapist. That is a fact that voters ought to know about when they go to vote. And if it's not an insult, again, it's just a fact.
People know about that.
What's that?
Is there one person who is in a voting age and they don't know about
that? Oh, yes, of course.
Absolutely.
They will tell you that it was all set up, that Joe Biden has weaponized his Justice Department to go after Donald Trump. And in the case we're talking about where he was convicted 34 times and where he was an adjudicated rapist, it was a state case. It has nothing to do with Joe Biden. And if you want to talk about who weaponized the Justice Department to go after political enemies, it was Donald Trump who did exactly that after going after Hillary Clinton, going after Joe Biden and his family while he was in office. That's why he was impeached the first time that Donald Trump was impeached. So people need to know those facts. If you don't like those facts, so be it. If they make you want to vote for Donald Trump, so be it.
I know all those facts.
Okay.
I'm still saying I know the facts.
Okay.
But you have to. That's not important what he is. The important part, why we are not happy with the Democratic Party.
Fair enough.
And we're switching parties.
Good question. Excellent question, Victoria. So I want to end it with this. Why did you vote for someone who was not even in the race? Why did you vote for RFK? He had dropped out of the presidential race. Why did you use your vote to vote for him?
Because I was so unhappy with the Biden administration starting the war in Ukraine and not stopping the war in Ukraine, giving so many billions of dollars when we need that money here in our country with veterans and homelessness and schools. And I didn't see, let me tell you one thing. I grew up in the Soviet Union, and I know very well what's going on in the Soviet Union. To have a war between Ukraine and Russia, it was the most ridiculous thing ever.
Yeah.
I can't go deep into that, but that's not the reason I called you.
Victoria, you said that Biden started the war in Ukraine. So coming from the Soviet Union, surely you are aware that Russia and its prime minister or president, whatever he is, Vladimir Putin, invaded Ukraine. Right?
No, he did not. You know what happened? Let me tell you what happened.
No, we don't have time, Victoria. Sorry.
Yeah.
If you don't understand that Russia invaded Ukraine.
Okay, you don't understand. Trust me, I understand more than you
do. All right. We will pick it up another time, and I do wish to hear what you have to say. I just want to get to a lot of people today, Victoria. So if you want to call and tell me how Joe Biden started the war in Ukraine that he tried to stop when Russia invaded Ukraine, we can have that conversation another time. 818-985-KPFK. I hear you, and I hope you're happy with your vote. I really do, with for RFK Jr.,
I'm going to have to end that program there. Just a reminder that the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and don't necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Incorporated, station management, the board of directors, or the WEFT associates. Let's see, just a reminder again, if you want to check out what's going on at, have a little bit of time, what's going on at the Rose Bowl Tavern, go to their website, www.rosebowltavern.com. And yes, and keep listening to us here on WEFT. On our website, www.weft.org. And if you want to make a donation, since we are volunteer run. But I'm going to wrap up things here. Coming up next is Radio Theater. But I'm going to play out with Nina Simone. I believe this is her song, In the Dark, from her album, Nina Simone, The Blues. Thank you so much for thank you so much for listening, but keep listening to us here on WEFT.
In the dark, it's just you and I. Not a sound, it's not one sound, just the beat of my poor heart in the dark. Now in the dark, such a thrill when he presses his fingertips upon my lips, and he begs me to please keep still in the dark. Missed. what the rest have left behind. Just let them dance.